Hi, welcome to an understanding of God's Word for such a time as this. This is a ministry that's broadcast dealing with current events and situations that we are dealing with presently. And my name is Minister Shanette Peterkin. I am happy and delighted to be with you again to share in the Word of God. But this time we come with the lesson geared upon what we're dealing with in our current situation. We're taking the Word of God and applying it to today's situations and life circumstances. So we want to thank and welcome you to the program. Tonight, I want to take a look at a couple of scriptures because today I think the church got to understand what's happening today. We're dealing with here in December 2020, we're dealing with the election, the fallout of the elections for this nation here. And it's very important. I think sometimes that the church don't understand why we're so got our eyes on what's happening, because what is happening and what has occurred is bigger than Trump versus Biden or Democrats versus Republicans. I think a lot of us as Christians have gotten comfortable and we've not been educated or explained to as far as the background of what's happening. So tonight, I just kind of want to go in and delve into the Word of God and paint the picture and show the importance of the church being active. And oftentimes when people say politics, you know, we want to turn away from it or not cause any conflict and confusion. And we just kind of shy away from those topics to avoid confrontation. But understand this, the church has been developed to be confrontational. The church has been called to be a light in darkness, and darkness does not like to be exposed. We are called to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. And a lot of people getting confused and they're like, well, you're supporting this side instead of that side. And it's not about sides. Understand that. It's not about sides. But when a side particular aligns with the views and the values of the Word of God, we stand up and we agree with those things. But if the government or a side is against the very things that will that are according to the Word of God, or they are in line with things that will bring destruction upon a nation that was established under God and in God we trust, the church should be the main ones waving the banner or the flag, the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I always understand that. I think what the media has done and what most in church has done is caused us to think that discussing political things, which are really moral things, moral issues, is just being political or being caught up in politics and not the Word of God. That is not the stance of the child of God. The child of God is supposed to allow God's Word to permeate and invade every area and aspect of his life and living, which includes your stance and your what you stand on politically here in this world. We are not here. It's not about the size or the parties. But understand this. There is an effort by the enemy. When Adam and Eve, look at the example of Adam and Eve, and I'll get back to that statement. There's an effort by the enemy to bring destruction and bring in a new world order where Satan or the Antichrist is ruling and reigning. We are in the last of the last days, and all it takes is for the church to be raptured out for the Antichrist to be revealed. So you have to understand prophetically where we are here with the events that we see as it pertain to Israel and America and the Christians in according to God's eyes. So if you're not looking, if you're just looking at, oh, we're just going to church and we're just going to stand on God's word and we're just going to preach the gospel, that's fine and good and dandy. But understand this, your weapon of warfare, you got to understand the battle that you're in, the battle that you and I face. You got to understand what's going on around you. The Bible tells us to not, he says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. In other words, don't be ignorant of the schemes. And I go back to the Garden of Eden. And if I sound excited, I am, because The word of God is right now is more, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's here for the purpose to bring to surface what's in the hearts of God's children and to reveal what is going on. So I just get a little excited because there's so much going on, and because we've shut ourselves behind the religious doors of church and religious activities and gotten into our routines, we fail to have the active energy and power of the Spirit of God at work in our lives so that we can get a revelatory knowledge of where we at right now prophetically, of what's happening in this world right now and how it affects us and where the church should be standing and how we should be standing. So my point in all this tonight is, we go back to the Garden of Eden again. We look at Satan. Satan never presents himself as what and who he really is. He never discloses to us his true motives. His desire is to use deception, and deception rise in on the back of truth. Error rise in on the back of truth. Corruption rise in on the back of truth. In other words, you can add one word into God's word and it will negate the whole thing. So when we look at Adam and Eve, it was never revealed to them the motive of having dominion over this world system. The only thing that Satan revealed to Adam and Eve, who were in a state of innocence, they were in a state of perfection. They had never sinned. So if while in a state of perfection, Satan tempts them and causes them to fall and fail God, what do you think happens to us as believers who are not crucified with Christ, who are not beholden to the way of Calvary? See, there's a difference in preaching the cross and living the cross. I can say the cross all day long. I can be under a ministry that may say the cross and expound the cross of the word, but it takes you and I placing our faith in that act for the Spirit of God to actually come into our hearts and life and energize us where we have active live faith in action that first of all has to put to death some things in my life. What are the things that he has to put to death? First, my own self-interest. See, there are many of us in religion and in church and in organized church, and we just seeking positions and titles, and we want to be seen and we want to be heard and we want the name of being great. But God is not looking for a name. God is looking for reality. He wants us to be holy in reality. And so the enemy, if we're not careful, if we're not crucified with Christ, dead to self, self-interest, dead to our own motives, dead to our own way of thinking, dead to our own personal agendas, previous teachings, the powers of darkness. These things come in, and if they're not put to death by the Spirit of God, see, he has to mortify the deeds of the flesh, my intellect. See, some of us, we think with our mind, and the Bible declares that we're not to walk by sight, but we're to walk by faith. And the whole point and purpose of being dead with Christ, crucified with him, is so that I can be risen, so that the power of Jesus Christ and him crucified can come into me, regene me. See, this is the born again experience. So too many of us, we confess that we're saved, but we never go through the process of being changed by the Spirit. So when we deny the Spirit of God from working in us, we have a form of godliness, but we've denied his power. And so this is what we see in organized religious church. We see a form of godliness. We see the titles. We see the positions. See, we can check the box. It's much easier to adhere to the form. But it's hard to deny self and submit to the cross, the way of the cross, because the Bible declares narrow is the way. So tonight I don't want to take up too much of your time, But I just had to expound that to get us to see that just because we are Christians or say we're Christians doesn't mean I have a revelatory knowledge or understanding of how God works and what's going on in my life. I have to learn to align myself, my way, my desires, and submit it to the perfect will of God. And once I do that, now you have to understand, because a lot of people are like, well, why are you so caught up in what's happening on one side and not seeing this on the other side? You don't have a clue of what's happening behind the scenes. And if you look at Abraham, Abraham had no clue, that Sodom, that God was coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's affection was the Lord. Abraham's desire was the will of God. See? And so, in looking at the life of Abraham, Abraham was watchful. Abraham was diligent. Abraham was vigilant. And Abraham saw three men, one who was a pre-incarnate of Jesus Christ, the other were two angels. And that they made their stop with Abraham in his camp. And why? Because there was fellowship. There was faith. See? So Abraham, because of his his relationship with the Lord came down because he was a friend of God and revealed to Abraham the secrets. He said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" Now, I say this simply because God reveals truth to his people. He reveals the reality of what's happening in this world system to his people. Not everybody will get it. Why? Because not everybody has given up their life, lost their life for the sake of Christ. He said, if you lose your life for my sake, then you shall find true life. But if you try to save your life as you know it, and what he means by that, many of us try to put on face pretense and try to have that form of godliness. We try to make it about self. We try to promote self. We want the titles and the positions, and we want to be seen and heard, and we want to be known, and we'll put on a form of humility, but we really not denying ourselves. See? So we try to save our life as we know it instead of losing it so that Christ can be Lord over us. See, everything about us has to be put aside. And Paul quickly said, all that was gained to me, I counted as loss or dung, just for the knowledge, the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Meaning the education. He didn't rely on his education to make him somebody in the body of Christ. See, when he was a Pharisee, that's what they looked to. Their upbringing, their lineage, what tribe they were brought in. He said, I counted all of that. Whatever made me advantageous, whatever gave me a pat on the back in the eyes of man that promoted me, that all I counted as them. In other words, I don't care what they think of me. I don't care if they call me everything but a child of God. I don't care if they call me a lunatic. King Felix, I think, told him, Paul, much learning has caused you to go mad. So in other words, in today's world, they may call you a conspiracy theorist. They may say, oh, you just with the lunatics because you believe this, because you're not in support of what the mainstream media is saying. They may tell you that you just on the dark side, and you're not in church and religious church like we are, and you're not under a leader like we are. See, this is the world system in the world, in the church. And what has to happen, our minds have to become captive. Our thoughts, our ways have to become captive to the way and the obedience of Jesus Christ. We have to bring it under the subjection of Jesus Christ. And so here we see that God is dealing with, and then we're going to start, and let me go, I'm trying to get here. I got several scriptures and not enough time, so y'all bear with me. Let's go to, I want to show how God reveals, we were talking about Abraham and how God reveals the secrets of the Lord to his people. And this revelatory knowledge doesn't automatically come. See, this is why there is fellowship and friendship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So I think it's in 2 Chronicles, if I'm not mistaken, chapter 12. But I want us to go here because we talked about Abraham and how God revealed the secrets of what was happening in the world system to Abraham. He says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" In other words, God was making known to Abraham what was going to happen, what was happening in during this time in Israel. And today, the same things, it happens today in our nation and in this world. God will reveal to you what is happening prophetically so that you will know what to do. Okay, and so I don't have that scripture. I don't think I had the right scripture before me, but we'll get it. Give me one second here. But I want us to see the importance. It's very important that we allow God to be God in our lives. It's very important that we allow the process of the cross to develop us. And instead of 2 Chronicles, it's 1 Chronicles 12. It says in 12 and 32. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. It says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them who were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." It says, "If we follow the Holy Spirit like they were then doing, we will as well have understanding of the times. Only those who truly follow the Lord will know what the church ought to do." Now, this is why we have to be careful, and we have to know that you have to know what's happening politically in this environment that we're in, because there's bigger things going on besides what the natural eye is seeing. The natural eye see right now that the mainstream media is saying that Joe Biden is the president elect or the projected winner. Now, behind the scenes, there are some things that are happening and been done or seen that many people can't see, because the mainstream media owns most of the platform that reaches the masses. The mainstream media meets, and not only that, the mainstream media includes the news that you listen to, Fox News, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, ABC, CNN, so many others. All these major platforms. The mainstream media also is Hollywood. All the movies are geared towards, if you look at the movies, if they're dealing with race, if we're having race culture issue and they're trying to make race an issue, you'll see the movies highlighting race. Here lately, they've been trying to push defund the police and make the police the bad guys. So guess what? All the movies will start pushing and producing. They will put clips in movies. I was watching some movie and they were highlighting how police officers and how they're the bad guys. Now, what the mainstream media and what Satan does is he is pushing an agenda or a narrative that comes against all that is God, all that is ordained by God. God has ordained government. God has ordained these people in positions to punish evildoers. But Satan wants to promote that which is lawless. And he's even called the man of sin who promotes lawlessness. Okay. Now you and I, if we're not hidden in Christ and crucified with Christ and identified with him, will not be able to see this hidden agenda. Why? Because the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world system, and he blinds the minds of those who reject the truth. In other words, you can be a Christian or a sinner and reject truth. And what I mean by that is that if you're not allowing God to deal with some things in your heart and in your life, in other words, if you're not allowing God to deal with pride, ego, arrogance, most of us as Christians tend to look and turn our noses up at those that struggle with outward sin. And what I mean with outward sin is they may have maybe addicted to smoking, maybe prostitutes, maybe alcoholics, and maybe whatever. These are things that the body become addicted to. But Christ said that it will be easier for the harlot and for the tax collectors to get in before religious people. Why? Because they claim, the religious people claim they knew God, but they denied him. They denied his word, and they were self-righteous. But the person that was a drug addict or a alcoholic or a prostitute or whatever, they knew they're wrong, but they were just looking for a solution. See? So my point is that God has ordained, and he has called people to see, he's given them understanding of the times to know what Israel or what America ought to do. Right now, we're faced with the situation. Now, behind the scenes, what we're really facing, what we're dealing with today is not Trump Biden versus Biden. It's not Democrats versus Republicans. This is the image that the enemy wants you and I to see. The Bible says, if you bite and devour one another, be careful lest you be consumed by one another. The enemy wants to cause us to bite and devour, be upset with one another, be divided. See, we're divided by race. We're divided by culture. We're divided by gender. We're divided by now. We're divided by wearing masks or no masks. See, we're divided by you believe the coronavirus and I don't believe it. See, he is causing chaos. It's the old tactic of divide and conquer. This is how Satan destroys. Remember, in John 10, the Bible declares that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, you and I can't just say these scriptures and not apply them to our everyday situation. This is what Christ did. He took the word of God and applied it to situations, everyday situations. This is the only way that people could relate to them. So if you want to just hold to the scriptures, oh, we just got to be godly and be holy and be right. And okay, that is true. That is right. And that is good. But the Bible has to be put into action. In other words, I can't just be comfortable in behind the four walls and just go through my motions of religion and religiosity and church and all these things. Excuse me. And so I have to learn how to let God be Lord, how to let him transform me, how to let him change me and to think like Christ. So the whole point and purpose of salvation, whole point and purpose is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, meaning that the experiences that you and I have in this life is for the purpose of being transformed. It's for the purpose of our minds to be changed, to be like Christ. You see? And so I'm finding many Christians don't want this process. It's so much easier to hide in church and do religious things. So much easier to be seen and to be heard and to have the pat on the back by men. But it's much harder for God to put some things to death in our heart and life, such as pride, such as our intellect, such as our will, such as our desires. See, most of us search the scriptures to find the scriptures that support our ideology. That's not how it works. Christ said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. Scriptures, we should always search to see what it is that God is saying about the situation. And so again, with Abraham, we saw how before God came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, his nephew, lived and resided there with his family. God did not, because of the sin of Sodom, God gave them an opportunity, and Abraham prayed and interceded for Lot and his family and for Sodom and Gomorrah, but there was none there that was righteous. None there seeking to be righteous. So back to today, we see here in First Chronicles 12:32 that God says to the children of Israel that the children of Issachar were men who had understanding of the times. There are men and women today who have understanding of our times to know what the church ought to do. See, the battle we're facing, again, I go back and I say it's not Republicans versus Democrat. A lot of Christians see that other Christians are fighting. They assume that we're fighting a political battle and this is one side versus the other. No, you're blinded. You're not seeing it. You're only seeing it from your perspective. The battle we're facing, if you dig a little deeper, get understanding of the times we're living in. America was called. See, there's a narrative that's been pushed about how terrible America is and how America and slavery and all this and that. See, you don't understand what America, the price America paid to bring, to release and to undo slavery. There were over 600 and something thousand men and women who fought and lost their lives to end slavery. But the enemy will have us to bring up our past to keep us stuck and stop entering into the promises of God and give glory to the enemy. Give glory to our past, our problems. See, there's Satan in 2 Thessalonians 2. It says the Antichrist's purpose is to oppose all that is of God. He wants worship. Satan wants worship. See, he wants praise. And he wants to deny God praise. So all that God did to move, to get upon a heart of a people in England, to move them to want to move and have religious freedom and to go from a land to an unknown land and land on a rock called Plymouth and to develop a government that was centered and based upon the word of God. See, we're going away. The church is falling in line with the world and we're getting caught up in race. We're getting caught up in stuff that is a lie from the enemy. And because we're walking by sight, we're walking by feelings, and we're walking by our emotions. This is not the fight that God has called us to. Your emotions, your passions, and your lust should be crucified with Christ. If they are crucified with Christ, then you will have true life. Nevertheless, you shall live. See, the only way to live an effective Christian life here on earth is to be dead to self, dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to Satan, dead to everything that Satan tries to bring your way that's contrary to God, and everything that tries to exalt itself over the knowledge of God. We're supposed to be dead to it. So here we have a nation and other nations. Let's say we have a nation that is fighting to be free of tyranny, free of totalitarian rule and government, free of bondage. The Lord, whom the Lord has made free, is free indeed. See? Paul said, pray for your government that you'll be able to preach the gospel in peace. Many of us as Christians are folding our hands and our arms and getting caught up in religious church and don't even realize the danger you're facing. You don't even realize that tomorrow you may not have a church to practice your religion, to practice your faith. You see? And so the battle that we're facing right now is socialism versus freedom. Communism versus freedom. Everyone, and I know many of you may not like this, but do your research. Dig in and find out who these people are that represents you and I, that's supposed to represent you and I. You don't know these people personally, and you may never know them personally. Only thing you know is what the media and what others relay and portray to you. But you and I, by the Spirit of God, can come to know individuals through their policies. See, they openly tell you who they are by what they support. See, a lot of Christians are saying, oh, you're just talking about abortion. That's a major thing. That's life. We are going back. If you're in support of abortion, killing innocent children, do you know what all they do with the fetuses, and they sell it and do all kind of things and make all these things to do corrupt stuff with these fetuses? We have legalized killing our unborn children. Those are the moral and major issues you should be concerned about. This other stuff about taxes and all this, and that comes last. That's not of concern. What's of concern is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And killing and putting to death and supporting individuals who tell you openly they support killing innocent children before they're born. Then they deny that they are even a fetus or a human in the womb. See, something has terribly gone wrong with the church, because the church has now, because it's politically in bed with a party that pretends to give to look out for them, to look out for their safety and give them a handout, and because of their skin color, to make you think they're for your race. Remember, the biggest false prophet that we're dealing with today is the mainstream media. And I've already entailed who they are. It's the news outlets. It's the Hollywood TVs, the shows we see and watch. It's the sports arena. See? And it's many other things. Many other. They have experts raised up to tell you lies. Why? To keep you blinded to the reality of the schemes and the isms that they are doing in this nation to bring about destruction and to defy God. So you know a candidate by the policies they support and what they stand for and they enforce. That's how you know them. If you look up Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, there are books out there, Profiles in Corruption, that gives you the background of these people and how they are corrupt and how they pushed agendas to make themselves rise to the top, but they only did it through corruption. And the policies they enforced is against people, against what's right morally. And I know many people may not like this, but the reality is, Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? These people are Marxists. They are socialists, and they are against the way of God. They are against what this nation stands for. I even read in Barack Obama's book, if you read it from their own mouths, they tell you they support Marxism. They support communism. Everybody that was around him, Bill Ayers, look it up. Frank Marshall Davis, they were communists. And so when you hear me talk and say these things about these people, the reason why you get upset is because you've been fed lies through a media that is here to deceive. They are the biggest false prophet. So you will not be able to believe the report of God, and you will not get understanding of the times and know what Israel ought to do. I mean, what America ought to do, simply because you're listening to another voice. And Christ has told us, be careful, take heed how you hear, and not only how you hear, what you hear. Now, I'm going to go there, and my time is up. I'm going to have to do another, because I don't want to make this too long for you, but we'll have to do another teaching on this. Now, I want you to see, and I think it was Luke chapter 8, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, or we'll go to Matthew chapter 4, I think. Let's go Matthew chapter 4. And I want you to see this, because I'm talking about this same scripture about God, Christ giving us a warning on how we are to take heed how we hear. Okay. So in Mark chapter 24, he says in 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So the Lord will make the gospel known to all nations, and all will be responsible who hear it. So if you hear the gospel explained to you, now hearing the gospel is not just, I'm just reading the word, but you hear. Hear means to obey. Hearing with the intent of obeying. So it's not just hearing words, it's within a heart that intends to obey. And he says, verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. So there is no excuse for believers not hearing correctly. The problem that we're dealing with today is that most people are not hearing correctly. If you're hearing the voices of the mainstream media, remember, they're always painting a narrative. So they put a seed in your head and in your mind, or a narrative, And now you build on that narrative. Everything you hear outside of that narrative, that's what you base everything you hear upon. So when you hear me talk and use scriptures, you will come against me because it's the narrative that's set in your head. It needs to be torn down. So he says, take heed what you hear. Okay. And in Luke 8, it says, take heed how you hear. Okay. So in Luke 8, I think it's 15. Let me see here. Let's go right here and see what it says. And I'm going kind of fast, but I have a lot I have to cover. I want to cover, but I can't get it all in. It says here, but that on the good ground, we're talking about the seeds that were sown. There was a parable of the sower and a seed in the seed. And the sower is a preacher of the gospel or Christ sowing the word of the kingdom in this earth. And it hit, the seeds were planted or laid or thrown out on certain grounds. The grounds represented the heart condition of those who heard. And so here in verse 15, I'm not going to explain it. It says, but that on the good ground. So that means the seed that fell on the good ground is the fourth group. The first group was the ground, the wayside or a hardened path, which the earth or the dirt had not been dug up. And so because it wasn't dug up, the seed just fell on a hard path and the sun scorched it. And the fowls of the air, which represents Satan, because the people had no understanding or desired no understanding, the fowls ate it. Then you had the thorny ground and you had the stony ground. They received it, the word, but thorns and stones stop the word from penetrating the heart. So each of us fall in one of these categories. And the last ground was the good ground, which was broken up, because the ground before it can receive the seed has to be broken up. It's a fallow ground, but it has to be broken up before you can plant the seed. And so when they planted this seed, because it was on good ground, no thorns, the weeds were pulled up, stones were removed, it was able to produce fruit. And so here in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. This is the key. To have an honest and good heart means that you're willing to let God address what's there. You're not trying to make an excuse for your actions. You're not trying to defend your actions or your beliefs. You're not trying to hold on to it and just excuse it away. But you're really seeking to know the truth. You're not taking the scriptures to find out how to make it fit what you want it to say. You are with an honest and good heart desiring God, regardless of the price that you have to pay, regardless of what you have to give up. See, God will come against your political stance, what you believe politically. God will come against, if it's not in line with the word of God. Many of you are defending it. You see, many of you are supporting people and policies, people that promote policies that are against the word of God, and then get mad because you're not allowing God to deal with your stance. You see this? This is very important. So if the word of God is allowed to be planted on good ground, it means that these people hear the word and do it. They allow God to penetrate, to put to death some things in their heart that's not right or in line with his way. So regardless of the conflict and the confrontation you have to face with people, you're letting God deal with you. See, some of us are afraid to stand up for what's right because of the repercussion of what the church world may say, what my friends may say, what my family members may say or do. I may lose a position in church. See, a good and honest heart doesn't care about those things. A good and honest heart will be willing to give it up for the sake of Christ. Now, each of us, we have to let God deal with us, because we will make excuse. We'll try to make this thing about something. It's really not, just to defend our cause and our position. God is dealing with the church. He's dealing with you. Everything in life and everything that happens, he's dealing with you so that you will be able to reprove, to rebuke, to expose the error and the wrongdoing in this world, just so that you can help people be brought in the right way. So it says, they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So it says, merely hearing the word is not enough. One must keep it. This is where God wants the church. He wants the church to keep his word in the midst of the coronavirus, in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of this election war we're dealing with. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. Don't give up because of what it appears. And like I said before, the bigger issue that we're facing is that we're about to lose our rights as we know it. There is an evil force at work that's using a people. See, there's the China is behind a lot of the stuff that we're seeing in this nation. They were behind the coronavirus. Why? The reason why the opposition against this president is because he's in the way of them implementing socialism, communism. In other words, where these elites continue to rule and reign with our consent, with our tax money. See, some of us need to be shaken. We're here trying to defend these people and they're working against you. This is what Satan did in the garden. Adam and Eve sat there and defended their cause, and at the same time defended Satan and his efforts to bring the fall upon all of man. Why? Because they simply did not obey God's word in totality. They put their needs, they put their desires above the word of God. They became self-conscious instead of remaining God conscious, instead of trusting God to supply their wisdom that they so desired. But they did not realize that this wisdom would come only through corruption, that they will have a corrupt form of wisdom due to experience with sin. They would experience sin to get this corrupted wisdom. But had they obeyed God, they would have known Satan's plot and plan firsthand without experiencing sin. What am I saying? You and I have to put our trust in the cross. Putting your trust in the cross is more than just saying the cross, the cross, the cross. Putting your trust in the cross is more than teaching the cross, the cross, the cross. If you say you're righteous, you're going to have to live and be righteous. That's what the word of God says. And we know you by, people know you by your fruit. You can come out intellectually all you want and try to argue a point and say this and that, but know this. If you are crucified with Christ, I will know you by the fruit that you bear. Amen. And so let me get back here. So the word here, when he says, take heed what you hear and how you hear, notice here the word what means take heed who, which, and what. Hear means to understand, perceive the sense of what is said. So you cannot receive the word of God and listen to lies of the mainstream media. You can't hear two reports. See, when you think about, and we're going to close on this, when you think about Israel trying to enter into Canaan, the promised land, after being in a wilderness for almost 40 years, they wanted to spy out the land which God had already promised. So when they went in, they sent 12 spies in. The 12 spies came back and 10 had a report and 2 had a report. The 10 had a report of, yes, the land is good. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants. The 2 says, it's flowing with milk and honey. It is good, but we can overtake, with God, we can overtake the giants that are in the land. The majority of the people, which were millions, didn't believe the minority report. They believed the report of the majority, the 10 spies. And so how did they hear? They heard by what they saw, the report that was based upon what they saw in the land that was a problem for them, which were the giants. And then they saw themselves as grasshoppers. See, if you see yourself as a grasshopper and you see your God, you're seeing your God in the same sense. So they compared themselves and God to a grasshopper. But the two with the Minority Report compared themselves and God. They compared their problems to their God. And they said, we can take the land. You see what I'm saying? So you, in this day and age and in this time that we're dealing with all this opposition, whether it's this election fraud, and there is much fraud. It depends on how you want to see things. If you're listening to the mainstream media, you're not going to see the fraud. You're only going to see and hear what they've said. See, you're only going to perceive what they have said. So here, if you are living for God, remember, you're walking by faith, not by sight. And this is why the church is divided. This is why we have some saying one thing, some saying another. All of this that is happening, and I will close with this, is God is using it. He will use the chaos to bring about that desired result that he wants. He will use everything that's evil and work it for your good. God is separating. See, the church, for so long, we've all gone to church and gathered to church week after week, but everybody's not in the same vein of faith or line of faith as they should be. And so we can crowd to come together week after week and hide, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden, and create our fig leaves. But God will find us out. And he says, where art thou? The question that God is asking the church today, in the midst of everything that we're facing, is where are you? Where are you? Where are you standing? What are you supporting? Whose side are you on? How are you going to know what to do when you don't even realize the truth of what's happening and the reality of what's going on? So when you become double-minded, and he said, let not a double-minded person ask anything, because one minute you're on this side, the next minute you're on the other. God wants a people that's able to stand in the midst of a problem and be victorious. Why? Because faith squarely placed in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ said, in this life, you will have tribulation. Tribulation is an automatic in this world. But God has given you and I the power to overcome all resistance. Christ said, but be of good cheer. Why? In John 16:33, he says, because he has overcome the world. And the way you and I overcome anything that we face in this life is through walking and living our life by faith, by trust, denying ourselves. When I put my object of faith, my total object of faith in Jesus Christ, not understanding, not seeing the thing come to pass, it gives the Spirit of God the latitude to work in me and bring about God's desired results. Okay? So on that note, I'm going to close this, but I'll be back. We'll finish discussing this at a later time. But I pray that this recording will give you some insight and understanding as to what's happening today and around the world, because America standing, it's not just affecting us here in this nation. It's affecting many around the world. The nations around the world are looking. There is a concerted effort and plot to bring socialism and communism, to bring forth a government in all these nations where the people are placed in bondage and where the gospel is not allowed to freely travel to areas to preach truth. Y'all see what I'm saying? So this is a time for the church to not be in its feelings, to not be pitting and fighting against one another. If there's something that you don't understand, you need to search it out. You need to seek the Lord. You need to do your research. Instead of plotting and fighting against one another and devouring each other, lest we be consumed by one another, you need to dig your heels and seek the Lord and place your faith in the cross and let the Spirit of God lead you into all truth. Okay? I don't care if it's your pastor that's promoting parties and politics, because for so long minorities have been taught and trained by the church to believe a party, to put their hope in a party. See, it's not about that. Our trust is in the Lord, and God will raise up individuals just like he raised up King Cyrus, just like he raised up King Nebuchadnezzar. Were these men godly men? No, but God used them on behalf of Israel for his purpose. What am I saying? Some of you are so caught up on individuals that God used that you can't get past them, and you're missing out on the blessing. So I have to be kind of stern, because my heart's desire, as Paul said, is that we as a church might be saved. We need to repent. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I'm going to go there, and I know I said my time was up, but I just feel it necessary to go there, because a lot of us are just not aware of what's happening. And then we just think that we're not praying about it. We're not seeking the Lord. We're not understanding. So we're not interceding, just like Abraham interceded. Once God made available to Abraham what was happening or about to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's condition, Abraham interceded immediately to stay God's hand from destroying Lot and his family. Now, notice what this says in 2 Chronicles 7:12. And he's speaking to Solomon and making a covenant with Solomon. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, back then it was a physical temple. Today we're the temple. Now, notice in verse 13. God says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, it says, if the Lord in the notes does such a thing, it will be because of sin, always because of sin. Now, understand this. We look and we say, oh, the sinner out there and the homosexual doing this and the abortionist is doing that, and they doing this and all this. Oh, I don't know what the world coming to. They're doing that. But understand who God holds accountable in verse 14. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, talking about believers, shall humble themselves. See, God needs humility. The church is not allowing the Spirit of God to put to death some things in their heart and life. Why? Because they're not humble. Humility, and says that shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, the seeking of his face is the prayer of repentance. Church is not repenting, because the church is putting the blame on someone else, or this person, or that person, or the world. The world is in the state it is in because of the church. Here, it tells us right here. When the pestilence come, when the locusts come to devour the land, we have some issues in the land today. And so God is using it to get to his people who are called by his name. Remember I said God is trying to separate. There's always been two churches in the Bible. There was the remnant church, and there was organized religious church. Which one do you fall in? So he says, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, which proclaims the manner of true repentance. So I can't say I've repented if I have not turned from the wicked way. And the greatest wicked way is going in your way. The greatest wickedness is going according to your plans. The greatest witchcraft is going according to your biases. The greatest idolatry is upholding your opinions. This is what he told King Saul. He said, for your rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and your stubbornness is as idolatry, idol worship, where we uphold our opinions, our ways, and we neglect to look at the sin in our life, which is a lack of faith in the right object. Now, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we repent, he says, then will I hear from heaven, but not otherwise. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is why the church should be engaged. Some of you that's thinking that we should not be caught up into what's happening in the land and what's happening politically, read your word. if there is pestilence in the land, if there is a famine in the land, it's because of the church. What is the church doing? This is why we need to be awakened out of our sleep, arise from the dead, and allow Christ to give us life. That arise from the dead means stop being dead to the spirit. See, the spirit's trying to work, but I'm dead to him. I'm desensitized. Why? Because I'm in religion and religious activity, and it makes me think I'm more than what I am. This may be kind of strong, but it is necessary because there needs to be a shaking. If we call ourselves Christians, we need to open our eyes and see the reality. So on that note, I'm going to close, but I do thank you. Again, my name is Jeanette, Minister Jeanette Peterkin, and you can find us on YouTube or on Facebook under Understanding God's Word Ministry, or on the Podbean podcast under Understanding God's Word Ministry. Thank you again, and until next time, be blessed.